Magyanatimanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Didati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sabadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Siddha Devi Pranamami Hri Priye Panchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8 Chapter 5 The Demigods appeal to the Lord Text 6 Tasyanubhava Katito Gunascha Paramodaya Bauman Renun Savimame Yovishnor Varnayad Gunan Tasya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing as Vaikuntha Anubhava great activities Katita were explained Guna transcendental qualities Cha also Parama Udaya greatly glorious Bauman earthly Renun particles Saha someone Vimame can count Ya such a person Vishnu of Lord Vishnu Varnayet can count Gunan the transcendental qualities Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Although the great activities and transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's various incarnations are wonderfully described, sometimes we are unable to understand them. Yet everything is possible for Lord Vishnu. If one can count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no one can count the atoms of the universe, nor can anyone count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Purport. The Lord's glorious activities referred to in this connection took place after His personal bodyguards, Jai and Vijay, became daityas. Having been cursed by the great sages Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanat Kumar, and Sanandana, Jai, as Hiranyaksha, had to fight with Varahadev, and that same Varahadev is mentioned in regard to the Raivata millennium. The fighting, however, took place during the reign of the first Manu, Swayambhuva. Therefore, according to the same authorities, there are two Varahas. According to others, however, Varaha appeared during the reign of Swayambhuva Manu and stayed in the water until that of Raivata Manu. Some may doubt that this could be possible, but the answer is that everything is possible. If one could count the atoms within the universe, one could count the qualities of Lord Vishnu. But the atoms of the universe are impossible for anyone to count, and similarly no one can count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So the text again. Although the great activities and transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's various incarnations are wonderfully described, sometimes we are unable to understand them. That everything is possible for Lord Vishnu. If one can count the atoms of the universe, then he could count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But no one could count the atoms of the universe, nor can anyone count the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. Trying to describe something about the inconceivable Supreme Personality of Godhead is in one sense also inconceivable. In any case, as it says in the Bhagavatam, as the birds fly into the air according to their ability, so one could try to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to one's ability. But there's no end to the descriptions about Krishna. It is said that Anantadev is glorifying Lord Krishna since time immemorial, and yet through his thousands of hoods, and yet he can find no end to the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But indeed, to try to understand Krishna is the process of devotional service. The Pratibhasha Sutra in the Bhagavad Gita is Janma karma chame divyam evam yove titatvataha tyaktva deham panarjanma naitimam eti sorjana. The one who can understand in truth, that is by experience. The word tatvataha, tat means that. So in English it's T-A-T, and you just add an H and you get that. Something that's perceivable, that's directly experienced. That's tat. And twa means a category of things that can be directly perceived. So now we're trying to perceive Krishna, to become conscious of Krishna. And becoming conscious of Krishna means how Krishna appears, his janma, and his karma, his activities. How they're transcendental, spiritual. In order to do that, one has to come to the spiritual platform of consciousness. Janma, karma, chame, divyam. One has to become spiritual, divyam. Evam yoveti tatvataha. To understand by factual experience. And then the qualification, if one is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness on the platform of at least bhava, if not prema, then doesn't have to take birth again in the material world, but attains to the spiritual world. So how to come to that platform, Krishna says in the 18th chapter, as well as in the 11th chapter, Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. Anantaram, it's unlimited, there's no end to it, but it's possible to begin to enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding by the process of bhakti. And that's what Krishna introduces, that's what the acharyas introduce, so that gradually we can experience something of Krishna consciousness. Tapite deva pujam buja dvaya prasada leshanu grihita evahi janati tadvama bhagavan mahimno nichanyam ekopi chiran vichinvan. The word vichinvan, speculating. So, material world means to speculate. She loves me, she loves me not, this is good for me, that's not good for me. The whole material world is a place where everyone is just speculating because we don't see things as they actually are, and therefore we speculate. What we're seeing is actually our speculations rather than reality. And then on the basis of our speculating, we're speculating even more. But if one wants to stop the speculation, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he affirms this from Lord Brahma, Gyane priyasa unapasta namanta eva. First of all, we have to give up our speculation, put it far aside. Gyana priyasam udapasta namanta eva. We have to become submissive to the word Jivanti Sanmukharitam Bhavadiya Varayam. To the words of the great devotees. Ultimately, we're trying to understand where even we're not this body, that we are spiritual souls. Even that is inconceivable, according to the Bhagavad Gita. Askarivas Pashutit Kaschidainam. Askarivaj Pashuti Chayanam, Askarivaj Vadati Chayavaj Chanya, Askarivaj Chanya, what's the last one? Shudvabhinam Eva, Shudvabhinam Veda Kaschit, Askarivaj Pashuti Kaschidainam. That one looks at the, some look at the soul is amazing. Some look at the souls, when hear the some hear the souls as amazing. Some Askarivat Pashit Kaschide Namaskarivat China Vanati. Some think of the souls amazing, and some after hearing about the soul can understand the soul at all. So some look at the soul as being amazing. Some look at the amazing soul, and some amazingly can see the soul. Some amazing people can actually hear about the soul. Some people can hear about the amazing soul, and it's amazing that some people can hear about the soul. Some can think about the amazing soul. Some amazingly can think about the soul, and some amazing people can think about the soul. And it's amazing that anyone can think about anything about the soul. That even after understanding we're not this body, intellectually, still we go about our lives as if we're this body. Everyone has direct perception how the body's changing. And how we've had so many bodies. And everyone has the experience, in spite of the fact, with our intelligence, we can understand clearly we're not the body, still we're thinking we're this body. So that's amazing. Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samavrita. That Krishna's energy, yogamaya, is so powerful that it can delude unlimited living entities practically eternally. of which we happen to be one of those deluded living entities. So we have direct experience that we're eternal, and at the same time we have direct experience that we're living in a dream where we believe we're temporary bodies. So what to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if we can't even understand who we are? How are we going to understand who Krishna is? In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says, which I just forgot what Lord Brahma says, that, what is that verse about the sun moving its orbit? How the sun is the king of the Yatschaksha Savitasa Kala Grahanam Raja Samasta Sura Raja. Yatschaksha Esha Savitasa Kala Grahanam Raja Samasta Sura Ashesha Teja Yasya Gaya Samritam Vari Kala Chakra Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. Yatschaksha Esha Savita Sakala Grahanam. That the sun is one of the eyes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's full of Ashesha Teja. Yatschaksha Esha Savita Sakala Grahanam. Rajasamasa Sura Ashesha Teja. It's full of unlimited energy. It is said that the sun moves a little closer to the earth, then everything would be burnt. And if the sun moved a slight distance away from the earth, everything would be frozen. And yet, although the sun is giving off unlimited energy, unlimited heat and light, since time immemorial, still, it's exactly in its orbit. Yes, Yagaya, Brahmati, Sambrita, Kala Chakra. It always stays in its Kala Chakra. In India, sometimes here, they tie a bull by a rope. They tie the rope, they have a ring around the bull's nose, or in the bull's nose, and they tie a rope around the ring, and they attach the rope, to a pole. And the bull, although it's so strong, it can pull a weight that 50 men, it would take 50 men to pull. So the bull is pulling this weight in a circle crushing grains. So the bull is so strong, it can pull this heavy weight to crush the grains, but at the same time, it cannot move 1 inch beyond the rope. So similarly, the sun is so powerful, it's giving off unlimited heat and light since time immemorial, and yet it cannot move 1 inch beyond its orbit. So Lord Brahma is appreciating who put the sun in its orbit. And he's worshipping Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. He indicates that it's Govinda who did it. Now the scientists, I read some years ago that the scientists, they spent so many years trying to study the nature of the sun, and they concluded after 10 years of study that they knew more about the sun than any other planet within the solar system. But unfortunately, they found out that everything they knew about the sun was wrong. Or as they said, now we have positive proof of the possible understandings about the sun. So in other words, not only we don't know who we are, not only we're in bewilderment and delusion, misidentifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, but even the things right before our eyes we can't even see properly. We can't even see the tip of our nose. Although Pantastu Koti Shatavatsara Sampragamyo Vayura Tapi Manasom munipungavanam sopyastiyat chinyavitatve govindam adipurusham dhamahang bhajami. We can go on drilling the respiration for millions of years like the yogis do. We may go on speculating about what is matter and what is spirit, but we will not be able to even reach the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what it takes is some humility. If we look at the sun and we don't remember that Krishna says, Rasoham apsukuntiya prabhasi shasi suryo, that I am the light and the sun and the moon, then we're blind. We're simply seeing through the eyes of mental speculation. Whatever the magazines, whatever the tortoise in school, that everything came about by accident. In the beginning there was nothing, and then nothing became bored. It wasn't doing anything. And Mother Nothing said, you're good for nothing. Why don't you make something out of yourself? So after eternally hearing the complaints from its mother nothing about how it's good for nothing, it became angry one day and exploded. And made an effort to become something, but all it could do, according to science, was become a little bit of gas. About the same amount of gas that devotees create after the Sunday feast. Luckily, that gas doesn't form into universes, or else we'd be very crowded in the temple. So that's their understanding. In the beginning, there was nothing. It became everything. Luckily, nothing is not becoming more things, because there wouldn't be any room here. And they actually believe it. They actually have, they have scientific lectures on how everything came from nothing. They create museums to glorify nothing. And ultimately the result is nothing. Much ado about nothing. But we can understand that there is a person behind everything. And that person is an inconceivable person, because after all, how could he create a universe, even with his energies, that go on as it's going on before our eyes? The planets are moving their orbits exactly on time. We eat food, it's being digested, it's being assimilated, the unwanted parts are being eliminated, all without any conscious effort on our part. As I said before, if the scientists could create a machine, a male machine and a female machine, and when they got together they made little machines, then we could appreciate the scientists also had some inconceivable potency. For instance, if the scientists could create a male Rolls-Royce and a female Rolls-Royce, and when they get together they make little Rolls-Royces, and you give them a little oil and a little gas, and they grow up to become big Rolls-Royces, then everyone could easily get a Rolls-Royce. And we can certainly appreciate the scientific potency, or the potency of the sciences, of scientists. But they can't do that. But Krishna has done that in 8,400,000 species of life. For instance, Krishna has created a machine that you put in one end grass and the other end you get milk. What a wonderful machine. Imagine you mow your lawn and you put your grass into the machine and you get 300 gallons of milk. That would certainly be appreciated. Unfortunately, they don't appreciate Krishna's machine the way they should, because that machine, they'd rather eat it than appreciate it. It's called the cow. So right before our eyes are so many inconceivable things, and beyond our vision. For instance, Darwin said that everything came out of nothing, or practically nothing, and then it evolved to become everything. So his conception was that the cell was just a blob of matter. It had no real organization. It was just a part of the cosmic soup. But the scientists have discovered, those who are especially interested in what's called intelligent design, that there are trillions of cells in the body, and every one of them is inconceivable. And although we're creating hundreds and thousands of cells at every minute, and hundreds and thousands of cells at every minute are being destroyed, still every one of those cells is inconceivable because they're more complicated than a great city like New York City. Their transportation system, their energy system, their waste system is all, each one of those cells is more complicated than an entire city created by men. And there are unlimited numbers of those. So who's creating them? Is there a little architect in every cell doing an amazing job? No, it's inconceivable how it's going on. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. It's not even Krishna. It's Krishna's empowered his material energy to do these wonderful things. So if Krishna's energies are inconceivable, what to speak of Krishna? Now if we think, well, I've studied Bhagavad Gita, I've read it 2 times, I know everything, let me go on to something more substantial, more exciting, more enlightening than Bhagavad Gita. No, if we can understand one word, at least one sentence in Bhagavad Gita, De nosmi nita dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dahantra praptir diryas tatra namuyati. If we could understand even that verse, we become joyful all the time. We become ecstatic without understanding anything else. And if we don't understand that verse, then we're not going to understand anything else. And the Bhagavad Gita is helping us understand that verse by understanding why we don't understand that verse. Brahma, Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nishoshiti, Nakangshiti, Samak Sarveshu, Bhuteshu, Mad Bhaktim, Lavate Param. Before we can enter into the understanding of how great Krishna is, first we have to understand how small we are and how much we need to take shelter of Krishna. We don't have to understand immediately how great Krishna is. We have to understand how we have to take shelter of Krishna through the process of pure devotional service. That either we take shelter of Krishna's illusory energy and transmigrate from one species to the next, practically eternally, or we realize our insignificant position, how small we are, and how much we have to take shelter of Krishna and his representatives. Then in that feeling of dependency on Krishna and his instructions, then we might not get involved in matter. Our problem is we've come here to become the lord of the material nature. Specifically, we've come here to imagine ourselves to be the Purusha. Someone is thinking I'm Tarzan, and of course, someone is thinking they're Jane. Someone is thinking they're a Mickey Mouse. Someone is thinking they're a Minnie Mouse. Someone is thinking they're Romeo. Someone else is thinking they're Juliet. And it all starts from there. I am this body. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to benedict so many living entities in this world. So, as soon as we stop thinking ourselves to be dependent on Krishna and his representatives, then our false ego will take over, and we'll imagine in our dreamland that we're the center of some kind of fairy tale. We're the hero or the heroine in some kind of fairy tale that the illusory energy is inventing for ourselves. And then Paravas Tavada Bodha Jata Yavan Najignasita Atmatatvam Yavan Kriyastavati Dhammanovai Karmatmaka Yena Sharira Bandaha. As soon as we forget our dependency on Krishna and imagine I'm a wonderful doer, I'm a wonderful controller, I'm a wonderful benefactor of others, then at once we become, our consciousness, our mind becomes covered by material conceptions, and we can't see things clearly, and the result is we're defeated by the illusory energy. Evamana karma prasam prayungte avidyatman upadiyamane pritirna yavan mai vasudeve nimuchate deha yogena tadva. And as soon as we think ourselves to be other than the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then we have so many upadis. It doesn't matter who we are. We think we're male or female or black or white or American or Indian or Russian or Chinese or Martian. Whatever we may think we are, these are all upadis. And as long as we have these upadis, then there is no question of developing love for Vasudev. And as long as we don't have love for Vasudev, we simply have to go from one body to the next, imagining ourselves to be something we're actually not. So we may not be able to understand so much about Krishna. Even the queens in Dwarka, they did not understand so much about Krishna. They thought Krishna was their husband, their dearmost husband, who was their henpecked husband, who wouldn't go outside their house, who was always needing their care and their attention, completely subservient husband. They didn't know much about Krishna, but they loved Krishna with all their heart. Their whole life was dedicated to trying to please Krishna. So we may not understand much about Krishna, but we take to the process to understand Krishna, by which Krishna will reveal himself to us, then gradually things will be revealed to us. So that's the process our acharyas have given us. That's the process that Krishna has given us. Krishna has repeated this twice. Actually, he repeats two verses twice in Bhagavad Gita. Shreyan swadamo viguna para dharma sunustitat shrey dharma nidanam shreyak para dharma bhayavaha. That is better to perform one's own prescribed duty even though one may perform it imperfectly. Because destruction of the cause of one's own duty is better than to follow someone else's path, because to follow someone else's path is dangerous. So our first business is to understand everything here is Krishna's, and that we're obliged to utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service. That's our duty. And if we don't follow that duty, then the material nature will bewilder us into material consciousness. So that's repeated twice. At least the bare minimum, we have to accept Vishnu as the controller and the enjoyer and the maintainer and the friend of everyone, and then do our activities dutifully as a servant to his. But beyond that, when one is liberated from material concepts of life, then real devotional service begins, and that's manmana bhava madvaut bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosime. At least in human form of life, we should become Krishna's, we should think about Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada has created these temples so we can come and hear about Krishna. Not everyone should hear the same topics about Krishna, because not every topic about Krishna is suitable for every audience. When people first come and hear about Krishna, then they should hear constantly how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how we're not this body. The first years I was in the Hare Krishna movement, that's all we heard about, is that we're not this body. And although it seemed quite repetitious, but it took me around a year before I appreciated that it was good to hear that I'm not this body. Because I was actually believing, and still do, that I am this body. So it doesn't hurt to hear we're not this body. It can only help. And that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is not so easy to accept. One time I was distributing a book at a college to one student, and I was showing them the Bhagavad Gita, how the body's changing. It's going from boyhood to youth to old age. And I asked the student, well, which body do you have? And he pointed out a young, youthful body. And then he said, wow, that's amazing. I'm not this body. So then I handed him back the book and I said, well, yeah, there's a lot more in the book than just that. Why don't you take the book and read it and give a donation? But he gave me the book back and shook my hand. He said, wow, that's fantastic. I'm not this body. That's wonderful. But I don't need your book. And then he left. So in the beginning, people should try to hear, we should try to explain to people the basic principles. Probably used to explain, for instance, Professor Katosky at the Moscow University, that, my dear sir, we're eternal souls. He could not understand that. And then he probably tried to explain that we should have, at least in society, first-class men. Training should be there to create first-class men. And Professor Katosky, who is the head of the Hindu studies, could not understand what Prabhupada was talking about. And the next thing Prabhupada said, can you get me a taxi? And Professor Katosky said, sorry, I can't do that either. So at least we should try to explain to people who, when they come, the beginning, that we are not this body, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then when people become more mature, then when they want to participate, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto, when we try to make them into devotees, then introduce japa, introduce prasad, introduce deity worship, introduce the process of devotional service. That Krishna is God, he's the owner of everything, I'm not this body, I should utilize things for Krishna's service, what to do? Anukulyasya sankalpe. So in the beginning we try to introduce, yes, to understand this inconceivable Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore we take to the process of sadhana bhakti. And does it stop there? No. Madhyaji. Now we're doing bhakti, sadhana bhakti, service to Krishna. Now let's become serious. Let's congregationally chant together Hare Krishna. Let us chant 16 rounds. Try to do it offenselessly. Let us come regularly to worship Krishna and the association of the devotees. So Madhyaji, worship in the temple and the five powerful processes of devotional service, chanting, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam together, serving together, making the atmosphere spiritual together. So we worship together in these five powerful processes. And does it stop there to understand Krishna? No. Now let us render some service. Namaskaru. Utilize all our energies in Krishna's service. Become part of Krishna's mission. Support Krishna's mission with our words, with our intelligence, with our wealth. And does it stop there? No. Krishna says, now only associate with the devotees, and fully engage in my mission. Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva bidashati bhakti mayi puram kritva mam me vaishati samshaya. Now become a preacher. Now tell people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now introduce the process of pure devotional service to Krishna, and that way one can profoundly enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding. And this is the same message that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Gurahana Tari Desh. That we're preaching Krishna consciousness to help others, but principally to help ourselves to understand Krishna. Because we know unless we understand Krishna, then we're going to have to come back again to try to understand Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that in the material world, people believe that the best welfare activity is something like the Red Cross or some other welfare organization. Prabhupada said better welfare organization than that is convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the highest welfare work, to save the soul. And even higher than that, the highest of all welfare work is to save oneself. If we can't save ourselves, then we're going to drown in the ocean of material existence with everyone else. If we're not expert swimmers in the ocean of material existence, and we try to save others, then we'll drown. So, to understand Krishna, we go through the process. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te prati jani priyosi me. And at the same time, we humbly realize or try to understand that we're simply instruments at every step. That we're neither the controllers, nor the enjoyers, nor the benefactors. The best we can become is an instrument for the previous acharyas. And by becoming an instrument for the previous acharyas, by giving them all the credit, and by understanding their desires, and fulfilling those desires specifically to spread Krishna consciousness, well, for us to engage in Krishna's service, and to give that those benedictions to others appropriately, then by becoming more and more conscious of our dependency upon Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then we get Krishna's mercy. What is that verse? Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishanindriyasturan atma vaisharvideya atma prasada madhugachati. When we give up all attachment and aversion, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishanindriyasturan, and give up all this desire to enjoy the material world and engage with the material world in preaching the Sankirtan movement or energies, then Krishna will give us all mercy, all understanding. And it's unlimited. There's no end to understanding Krishna. Krishna is always becoming more and more beautiful, more and more ecstatic, more and more loving. And everyone in relationship to Krishna is also increasing their love, their understanding, their amazement, their appreciation of Krishna and his devotees. So there's no end to it. It can only get better and better and better eternally. Therefore, whatever stage we're at, whether it's we're just hearing about Krishna, or we're engaged in sadhana bhakti, or we're worshipping Krishna seriously, especially in the five powerful processes, or we're actively engaged in helping the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, or we're actively trying to explain to others who Krishna is and who we are, whatever stage we're at, it's all auspicious, and therefore ultimately lead us to the goal where we'll become completely absorbed in love for Krishna, and therefore our life will become sublime and fruitful. So, thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you. Very nice, informative class. My question is, you mentioned from the Bhagavad Gita that it's better to perform one's prescribed duties, even if they are performed imperfectly, rather than another person's prescribed duties, even if you can do it perfectly. So logically, wouldn't it mean that whatever you can do best should be your prescribed duty?
No. For instance, I may be able to I may be able to quote slokas perfectly. We'll give the example of, what was his name, who was an expert archer? Ekalavya. Ekalavya was an expert archer, but he was a Shudra. Therefore, he didn't really understand the purpose of being a Kshatriya. So although he was better than Arjuna in shooting arrows, but because he was a Shudra, he was probably going to get himself into trouble and everyone else into trouble. So ultimately, Dronacharya, he had Ekalavya cut off his thumb so he didn't get himself and everyone else into difficulty. So he became expert, but that expertise was not going to be very helpful for himself or anyone else because he didn't understand his position in relationship to Krishna, and therefore his duty was not going to be properly performed.
So our prescribed duty is determined by the caste system, or by whom do...
Well, Krishna says, Chatura Vanya Mayashi Stam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, according to our modes of nature that we're situated in. Unfortunately, our modes of nature are inconceivable also that we're situated in. So therefore, our prescribed duty is inconceivable. Therefore, Prabhupada made it simple. He said there's two types of prescribed duties. There's what's Swadharma. There's Swadharma according to the Varna and Ashram system, which for the most part we're ineligible to participate in. And then there's Swadharma coming from the orders of the spiritual master, coming from Krishna. So that's what we're engaging in. And simultaneously in engaging in spreading the Sankirtan movement and following the orders of the acharyas in disciple succession, we're engaging our modes of nature more or less according to what our propensity is in the Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada said, if you like to earn money, then utilize that money in the Sankirtan movement. If you like to organize things, then organize for the Sankirtan movement. If you're intellectual, then preach that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't try to take his position by accumulation of a fragmental amount of knowledge, but try to give people the understanding and the appreciation of how great Krishna is.
Yes. So everything we do in Krishna consciousness is being sacrificed back to Krishna. So seemingly, I may be washing the pots in the kitchen, which is the activities of the sutra, but then because it's devotional service to Krishna, it's not on a material plane.
As long as my consciousness is not on the material plane. Yes, of course. Because look, the great devotees, look what they're doing. They're churning curd for Krishna. They're making garlands for Krishna. They're cooking for Krishna. They're fanning Krishna. They don't have some PhD in the spiritual world. I got my my PhD in fanning. Simple service, but love for Krishna, that's the important thing. Yeah. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.